Israeli officials say they believe time is running out for a military strike to stop Iran's nuclear program because Iran is moving more of its facilities deeper underground. But from Iran, a conciliatory gesture, an invitation to UN nuclear inspectors to stay beyond their planned 3 days. The inspectors say they will end their mission today as planned. In the background, the European Union votes to stop buying Iranian oil, and the U.S. tightens sanctions on Iran's central bank, hampering the country's ability to sell oil. Iran retaliated with a threat to block the Strait of Hormuz, which carries about a fifth of the world's oil every day. So how is this resonating in Iran? Thomas Erdbrink covers Iran for The Washington Post. He's in Tehran. Thomas, you say the sanctions have led to high inflation and a drop in Iran's currency. How is this being felt in Iran?
This has placed fear in the hearts of at least of people here in Tehran, and you can see that they fear that the currency will collapse even further, so therefore they are investing in things that keep their value. Today I was out on the streets in front of Bank Mali, Iran's main bank, and people were lining up to buy cheaper gold coins. I visited the foreign currency bazaar. People were trying to buy dollars everywhere. So the sanctions are having a serious effect here. The sanctions are also amplifying bad economical measures made by Iran's leaders in the past.
I'm reading about a merchant that you write about who says that he absolutely believes that this is all leading to war and that his family, his friends, they're all desperate.
Yeah, people are very desperate, and there is a very big sense of hopelessness in the country. Iran's leaders are trying to give it a positive spin. They say this is a tough time. They compare it to the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s, in which Iran was under huge pressure. And they're making a lot of comparisons with this time. They tell me off the record, look, we've gone through bad times. We've been under sanctions for 30 years. We can survive. But for normal people, who especially in the last 10 years have gotten used to huge oil windfall, a large rise of the standard of living, people started traveling, people started watching satellite TV, people started going on Facebook and connected to the outside world, they now have a feeling that they're being thrown back into the past, and they feel that there's no solution from either their government or the American government to solve these deep problems that are only causing sanction upon sanction upon sanction and possibly even war.
But yet you write that on the other side of the fence, officials you speak to in Washington and other Western capitals don't share this sense of impending confrontation, you know, that this is necessarily leading to war, that in fact they express some cautious satisfaction that the policies are working. Working towards what end?
Well, this is, of course, the big question that normal Iranians also have. Is it the West's aim to prevent Iran's leaders from making a nuclear weapon, or is it the West's aim to overthrow the Iranian leadership? People here, at least, are getting more and more the feeling that even if the nuclear case will be solved, the pressure will probably continue. And that kind of explains their hopelessness, the stories they're telling me. People are stocking up on rice, people are stocking up on meat. Some people are thinking that if the war breaks out, we will go to our holiday homes around the Caspian Sea. It's all theory still, but the fear is there.
Well, Thomas Erdbrink, you're also writing that you are detecting that the Iranian government, while acting belligerent, is also signaling some negotiation. We heard this extended invitation to the inspectors to stay longer. So are you picking up that there may be some sense of negotiating over the nuclear program?
Well, the Iranians, at least the people around President Ahmadinejad, are clearly giving the signal that they want to talk. The problem is it's unclear what they are willing to put on the table. I spoke with an advisor to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei today, and he said, you should compare the situation to a fight with your neighbor. Your neighbor comes to you and complains about everything, whereas you are perfectly innocent and not slamming the doors or making too much noise. This is the relation we have with the Americans. They are accusing us of things that we are not doing, so therefore we don't need to make a compromise. So the Iranians are willing to enter negotiations, but at this point it is not clear if they have any compromise to give.
Thomas Erdbrink, Iran correspondent for The Washington Post in Tehran. Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.